In 1984, you guys keep playing and be great. In 1984, Dot and I went to a conference with a man called John Wimber. And he told us that when he first got saved, he read the book of Acts. And he saw that people got healed and people got set free and people encountered the power of Jesus. And so he went to, and he found a church. And he went to church and he said to the guys, there was a great service, but when do we start doing all this stuff? And they said, what stuff? He said, the stuff written here. He said, oh, we don't do it. We just talk about it. And he was not happy to accept that as being the state of the Church of Jesus Christ. And so he pioneered and he pushed in. And eventually had a group of people with him, and they began to believe that God wanted to heal people because he said he did. He said, will you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. And so they began to go and lay hands on every sick person they could. And they saw many die, and they saw many, they caught the diseases sometimes of the people they went to pray for. But they didn't stop, because they said, Jesus, if you said it, it must be possible. So they just kept on. And one day, he was walking along the streets in Los Angeles when he looked and he saw the sky. The clouds were like honeycomb, thick, full honeycomb, and were starting to drip honey on the earth. And as this honey was dripping, there were people running around with their mouths open, trying to catch honey. There were others holding buckets to catch honey. And there were others who were offended because it was making them sticky. What am I wanting to say to you? If you really want to see a move of God, we're going to have to let go. Whatever religious idea we've got about what church should be, and say, God, all I want is to drink the honey. Whatever form you want to give it in, that's fine. Give it to me as long as it's the honey of heaven. I don't want the honey of man or the honey of flesh, but we'll work out what's flesh. You can relax. You can just receive the honey of heaven. What you want, you can have. But you know, to get the honey of heaven, those guys had to go outside the house and do something a little unusual to catch some. If you're really enthusiastic, you took a bucket with you. I believe God wants to do something extraordinary in this place. I believe the power of the Spirit wants to be, he wants to release the power like you've never known it before. But we can't put rules on it and say, Holy Ghost, that's how far you can go and no further, because it will offend my religion. Some people may start yelling and laughing. You can't get offended. Open your mouth and get some honey instead. Don't get offended. You might miss it. You know, for so long I've longed for revival until I discovered revival had come. And all I had to do was begin to live in the good of revival. Revival's in my mind. Open heaven is in my mind. I can have whatever I believe is available to me. Whatever Jesus says, we can have. Faith is not some magical ingredient that some people are blessed with more of than others. Faith is simply believing everything that this loving Savior said he would give us, he has given you. That's all that faith is. Doesn't require anything else. Just to say, you said it is true. You love me and it's for me. I qualify because I belong to you. That's what I can have. So I want to leave you there. Now, we've asked Luke and Joan. I want to make a platform here for them to come and speak. And they want to come and tell you guys what the Lord's been doing and saying to them and showing them while they were away for 6 weeks in Bethel. And Luke wants to share his journey because I understand his journey, but I'll leave him to tell you the whole thing. So Luke, do you guys want to come up here, please? And let's show them we're glad they're coming.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you. Very polite English people. Yeah, me and Joe would just want to, first of all, just thank you guys for really sending us off for 5 weeks of a completely life-changing journey. We just knew when we were going it was totally God, but we didn't realize how much of it. And God completely set me up because I was like, it's for Joe. Like, I'm going along with her, and I know I'll get stuff, but I know it's Joe's time, and I got completely wrecked. So I just want to thank you guys, and I would just want to honor Dot and Les just for, like, allowing us to go and taking the risk in one sense of sort of saying, well, we don't know really what we're going to do with worship. You've been doing it for so long, but we believe this is God, and I just want to honor them for that. And we just so appreciate you just being so open to the Spirit. So I just want to encourage us as a congregation. I've never known such a father in the faith that is just so open to the Spirit, that is just, he's determined to go after everything that Christ has won for us. And it's just such a privilege to be part of, and with Dot as well, just to, I don't know, receive from these guys, but we know that they're ahead of us. So, and they, sometimes it's like chasing to catch up with them. So I just want to encourage us in this next season where God is taking us, let's just run as hard as we can, because I know that they're going to be out in front. They're not going to let us get in front of them. So I just want to encourage you in that. But for us, it's been a real journey of freedom for the last sort of 2 years. And that's been my heart's cry, is like, God, I can't stand where I'm at the moment. I need more of you. I need more of your presence. I need more of your goodness. I need more of your love. And not just in a sort of ethereal sense, or in a sense that, like, yeah, I know God loves me. I want to experience it. I want the love hugs of God. I want to actually experience the love of God. I want to have it manifested in me and through me, because I know my non-Christian friends, that's what they're crying out for. They're crying out for, like, I know there's a God out there, but I just don't see him. And that's my hunger and thirst. I mean, since we've moved back to Essex, I've met up with so many of my non-Christian friends, and it's amazing how many of them are just so hungry for God. And I was praying for them, we're speaking to them, and we saw no breakthrough. But I'm determined we've come back, and I know the breakthrough, the freedom that God's released in me is going to release in them. Because if we don't have freedom, we can't release them into freedom. So, and that's been my heart's cry for the last 2 years, is like, I need the keys out of jail, so to speak, the jail of religion. Because we have so much stuff, like, we carry around with us, and we think, well, actually, I quite like it in this space. I know where my bed is. I know where my straw is. I know that the Holy Spirit comes and brings me food every morning. We do. We see that as our quiet time. The Holy Spirit comes and opens the prison door, shoves in the word, and we think that's our lot for the day. And occasionally, we're allowed to go out and exercise. So, like, occasionally, I'm allowed to go out and pray for someone, and that's called prison service in the kingdom. And the Holy Spirit wants to just completely blow us out of that. And I know he's done it for me. Freedom. A key to freedom for me is, and I'm not trying to preach here, I wanted to explain what happened, but I just wanted to set a groundwork. A groundwork. Freedom is whatever comes into your mind and you do it. If something comes into your mind and you don't do it, you're in bondage. That's what the Holy Spirit's been saying to me. So jump around. Let me emphasize, not everything that comes into your mind is beneficial. But it's freedom. Absolute freedom. If you can do whatever comes into your mind, you're free. And then through love relationship with Jesus, that's where you do things out of obedience, not out of bondage, to what religion says, this is what I can do, this is what I can't do. And this is what we want to impart to you guys. I'm on a journey of freedom. I'm not saying I'm there, I'm the freest person ever, but I'm on a journey, but we want to release this over you guys. We don't just want to tell about experience. We want to release our experience. So when I was in the worship, over at Bethel, they just love the presence of God, as Joe could tell you, Ben could tell you. That's their main goal, is the presence of God. Everything else is an overflow, would you say? The presence of God. They just love the presence of God. And they say they get drunk in the presence of God. And it's true. You just get totally and utterly overwhelmed. And it's true, your reality. Bob Jones said an interesting thing when he came over. Bob Jones is quite an established prophet in America. And obviously, I think he does come over here sometimes. But I don't know if you guys would have heard him. But he was saying that 6 months ago or a year ago, God gave him a word. But he was too drunk in his depression. And he said that God doesn't listen to drunks. And the word I've got for you guys this morning is, what are you drunk on? Are you drunk on heaven's reality, or are you drunk on your reality with depression, whether it's despair or whether it's hopelessness, because we're either drunk on one or the other. And God doesn't listen to people that are drunks in the world. He doesn't. It's like if a drunk comes up to you, how much attention do you actually pay? Do you think, oh, he's going to have a word of wisdom to give me? No, you don't. You're just like, yeah, okay. If you've got a bit of compassion, you might offer to pray for them, but you know they're probably not going to receive much in the natural when you're praying, just in their spirits. But when you're drunk with the Spirit, you're just, that's all you do. You're consumed with Jesus. And I really believe this is the next move of God that God is bringing about in this nation. He wants us so radically not focused on the signs and wonders, but focused on his presence. And that is all that consumes us. That when we're in our workplace, we're just so consumed with the love of God and his goodness that we just speak it and it actually is manifested in front of us. So that people can feel the atmosphere of heaven, the atmosphere of his presence. And this has been my hunger and this has been my journey for the last 2 years. And I was very much of the opinion that if God was going to do something, he can do it now. I don't need to go anywhere. I don't need to go and get it from someone else. I've got a relationship with the Holy Spirit and he can do it in me, which is totally true. But I haven't got 10 years to wait for me to break through. I might as well go to someone else's breakthrough and receive of that. And this is what we want to bring back. We want to bring back the breakthrough that we've received and basically hand it to you this morning. It was quite a funny story. There's a guy called Joaquim. He heads up the healing rooms. And we had a healing school for a week. And it was absolutely amazing, the signs and wonders he moved in and the words of knowledge. He just would call out, someone's had an accident here 36 years ago. You've got a bad hip. God's going to heal you now. This guy stood up the back. His hip got completely healed. Absolutely amazing on the spot. And I was like, I went up to him afterwards. That's just one testimony. There was about 30 healings a night. And this was a Christian healing school. There wasn't non-Christians there. And how much sick people came. Like 30 people got healed a night. It was absolutely amazing. Just see, we saw this girl's leg grow out an inch and a half. And we saw Joe was praying for this girl and the tumour was about that big on her leg, cancerous tumour, and it went down to about that. So we just saw just like miraculous, but their heart is basically to give away what they've got. And it was just such a privilege. But for me, I went up to Joaquim and I said, Joaquim, I've seen you for the last week. I want what you've got. I've got to live in this because this is biblical Christianity. I've got to live in it. And I said, I know there's some things that I've got to train and I need to train my senses. And he goes, oh, you can have it for free. Laid his hands on me. And that blew completely my sort of sense of, I know you can impart something to me, but then I've got to develop it and train it. And he's like, no, you can have my breakthrough. You can have everything that I've given. And that was when we went to Bethel. We just really received from their breakthrough. And that, for me, was just such a privilege. So I'm just going to hand you over to Jo. Jo's going to talk about her journey, and then I'm going to talk about my journey into freedom.
I don't know how I'm supposed to follow that. I should have gone first. I just basically wanted to share some of my background, really, and my testimony with you guys, just in the supernatural stuff, really. I grew up in a Church of England setting and then moved to Pentecostal Elim Church, and they were kind of laughing and falling around and all that kind of stuff, so I was too. And this was when I was about, I don't know, I was a teenager anyway, early teens. And then at Faith Camp, similar sort of move of God, as always, in every denomination is going on. And we had a couple of guys there, and we were all falling around on the floor and laughing, and I was too. And every time that God touched me, I'd always do a cartwheel. It was just my thing of how I responded to God. I'd come out the meet and go, woohoo, and then just go for it. it was just, you know, whatever. I remember one year, my life is always milestone by Faith Camp, so forgive me, this is what I'm talking about. There was one year that I'd usually go to Faith Camp on my own or with a friend, one or two friends, but I went with a whole group of people, and it was the first year that I didn't cartwheel. And that doesn't sound amazing, but for me that was a real, like, I can't do this in front of these people kind of thing. And I just held it on inside. And I was asking God, like, where in my life did I go from really receiving the Spirit and moving in signs and wonders and laughing and having fun in church? Oh, my gosh. Where did I go from that to being completely cynical and going like, oh, you're shaking? I'm going to go over here because that's just really weird. And like, how did I bridge the gap from doing it and being part of that kind of movement to completely cynical? And that's really what I want to just share with you. When I was praying last night, I really believe that... Anyway, I'll get to that in a minute. Hold on. Jumping the gun. it was... I think it was about 3 years ago. I was talking to Ruth again at Faith Camp. And we were walking to a meeting, and I just burst out. I was like, so boring. Oh, my gosh. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I cannot go and sit in another meeting. I'm just so bored. I was like... I just, you know, it's great, it's truth, it's fantastic, it's going in my spirit, but my mind is just absolutely, I just can't stand it anymore. And from that point for me was, I think it was 3 years ago, just really going after what I'd given up and what I'd lost and what I'd shut down in myself. Actually, Karina DeVetta, I don't know if some of you know her, she gave me the same word, actually. I was going through the same sort of thing. She said, oh, I really believe that you've shut some things down in yourself, or you've allowed people to shut stuff down in you. And I was like, okay, what's she talking about? No idea. And for me, really, this last 3 years has been the journey of that stuff being reinstated into my life and re-envisioned in me. And Bethel was quite a culture shock, really, for somebody who doesn't like people who shake and laugh, because it's crazy. You got people laughing and shaking all over the place, and it completely rocked my comfort zone, and that was a good thing. I was completely uncomfortable. People were waving flags. Oh, my goodness, how pitiful can you get? I really just, my mind had no scope for how weird and wacky people can get in the spirit. And I was like, what? And then we were at this healing school, and God had like taken me through some stuff, and we were at this healing school, and we went through a fire tunnel. Well, I've never laughed so much in my life. I was falling about on the floor, and I was like, I suddenly realized through like my collapse, I was like, this is actually quite fun. And I'm in church, right, okay. And I was just falling about, and then I was leaning up against the wall because I just couldn't stand up. And somebody had asked Luke to pray for them, and somebody beckoned me over. I was like, I don't think I can get from here to, you know, where Les is. I was like, I don't think I can. And I sort of, you know, staggered over. I was like, right, okay, compose yourself. You're going to pray now, okay? You're going to pray for this lady. I had no idea what was wrong with her. And put my hand on her, and I just went, I just, like, completely started laughing again. And my mind was like, this is ridiculous. I'm supposed to be praying for this poor woman, supposed to be receiving. And I'm just, like, laughing. This is stupid. And again, she just went smack on the floor, and I was like, well, okay, that worked, all right. It went, stood by my wall again. And somebody else was like, oh, I want what you've got. I'm just going to come and stand and hold on to you. I was like, okay, weird, but okay, whatever. I was too laughing to care. And Luke said afterwards, this lady had like half a deaf ear. She couldn't hear properly, and she was completely healed. I didn't pray for her. That was like revolutionary thinking for me. I didn't have to work up a prayer. I didn't have to be clever. I just laughed over her. And it's like, well, for me, coming from like laughing, that's just ridiculous. What's that do? What's that doing? It's releasing the kingdom. It was God's joy bubbling over on me into her, and she hit the floor, and her ear completely opened up. And it's just like, that's so outside of my remit. I don't understand this at all. I was like, but it works, and I'm having fun. It's like, okay, well, this, you know, this seems like a good lifestyle shift to make. So, Yeah, it is fun. And the other thing is, it's really easy. It's fun and it's easy. It's like you've worked up so much, like, okay, if you know me, you know I don't like talking to people at all. I let very few people in. And for me to go up to somebody on the street is unheard of. Just like, I have at Rothy, I cried on every ministry trip, on the bus going to the every time, in absolute floods, terror, tears, absolutely scared to death. And we went on a treasure hunt while we were at Bethel, which is basically you have 30 seconds after you spent time with the Holy Spirit in his presence. You have 30 seconds to write down five different things of the following headings. You have five people's appearances, so red top, green shorts, tennis shoes, bandana, that kind of thing. And then five places that you may know, so you think bridge or park bench or a particular street. And then five, a couple of other things as well, I can't remember. We went out to this place. We got in a group of about five of us and looked at our places. And most of us actually weren't from the Reading area, where Bethel's based. And all of our clues were for this particular park called the Sundial Bridge. One lady had, you know, a pathway across water. Another lady had little circles. And in this park, there's lots of little circles all over the floor. And somebody else, I think I had Sun Street or something. And it all added up to exactly the same place. It's like, wow, that's awesome. So anyway, we go down to this Sundial Bridge. And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no, what am I going to do? There's this lady, and my thing says checkered shorts and green top, and there's a lady wearing checkered shorts and a green top. I was like, oh, crap, that actually means I have to do this, okay? So I'm like, okay. So I run up to this, like, excuse me, I don't know what to say. And just this boldness came on me. Like, the night before, we'd heard Danny Silk talk about what would your life look like if you were 10 times bolder. Just think about that in your own personal life. 10 times bolder than you actually are. For me, that was huge. That's ridiculously huge. 10 times bolder than you naturally are. You'd do anything. Even if you were the shyest person ever, you would do anything. And so I was kind of like, okay, 10 times bolder, this is fine. Excuse me. And she had a headache, and we prayed for her. And on the scale of 1 to 10, her headache was about a 5 when we prayed. I prayed and I said, oh, how's it now? 1 to 10. And she goes, oh, it's about 1. I was like, oh, praise God, that's brilliant. I was really shocked, actually, myself. And I was like, oh, can I pray again? And I prayed again, and a headache completely went away, which was awesome. And yeah, for me, it was just, it's so easy. I didn't have to do anything. I literally played a 10-second prayer. I was like, be healed in Jesus' name, headache go away. And it went away. It really is that simple. And I think for me, I'd made a whole kind of paradigm that it isn't that easy. It's actually really difficult to go up to somebody on the street and say, excuse me, and heal them. But it's not. It's a complete lie. It's so easy if you think about you're 10 times bolder, and you are 10 times bolder because the Spirit is more than 10 times bolder within you. And if you just release what you've got, he's already healing within you, and you just release it and it's done. And even if it doesn't work, even if they don't get healed, they've had a love encounter. They know that actually God loves them. And it was really, when we came back and we were walking, Luke and I were walking, trying to keep awake from our jet lag, and both of us started having bits on our body that started aching. I was like, that's really weird. And this lady came around the corner. I went up to this lady. I was like, excuse me, have you got a pain in your hip? And she was like, no, why? And we asked about 10 people. None of the 10 people had anything wrong with them, but they all knew that God loved them and he wanted to heal them if they were sick. And who cares if I look like an idiot? Who cares? And again, for me, that is huge. Who cares that I look like an idiot? Me. That's it. Nobody else cares. And if I can get over myself and get into this, you know, I got to the place where I was willing that God would completely rewrite what I thought to be true. If you just recondition your mind and say, okay, God, if take everything out, absolutely everything that I've ever learned about you, and then you build it back up again, how different would my view of you actually look? And that's a journey for me that I've been taking for the last 3 years. It's like, well, Why am I so scared of gold dust? Would I actually mind if gold dust was on my hand? Why am I so scared of it? It's irrational to think, oh, I don't want a diamond. No, thank you. What? I'm a girl. I love diamonds. Do you know what I mean? It's like, why am I so scared of the supernatural? Why do I care if somebody doesn't get healed on the street? It's not my problem. It's not my problem. It doesn't. What was holding me back? My fear. So what would my life look like if I was 10 times bolder? Completely different. And it's still a process for me. I still didn't like going up to go, excuse me, did your hip hurt? Because you still feel like a brat. but it doesn't matter. It's just like, what, you know, how awesome would it be if they did have a hip problem and it did get healed? Like that lady with a headache. She did have a headache and it did get healed. It's just like, it's awesome. And Luke on the same treasure hunt, do you mind me saying, take your testimony? He was with one of the girls, and they both had a couple of clues for this couple. Went up to this couple, and they said, "Oh, you know, you're God's treasure today. Is there anything that you need healing for? Are you sick?" And this lady broke down in tears, and she said, "Yeah, my son's just been diagnosed with autism." And they were like, "Okay, that's fine. Can we pray for you for that?" And they said, "Yeah," and we prayed. And then the lady was with Lou got a word of knowledge and said, "Oh, does your back hurt as well?" And she goes, "Yeah, how did you know that?" It's like, well, God loves you. You know, he wants to heal it. And prayed. Her back was completely healed. And then they said, "Oh, actually, our clues weren't for you. They were for your partner here." And all the, you know, T-shirt and trainers and stuff matched up to this guy, not her. And, you know, anything wrong with you? And he said, "Yeah, I've got dodgy knees. I can't run either." And so they prayed, and he was like, "Oh my goodness, they're completely healed." and they both went away, like both in floods of tears, going, "That was amazing. That was amazing." And it's like, you've touched people's lives that wouldn't have had that touch of God if you didn't have that boldness to go up to them. It's like, how much do we have on the inside of us that we're just walking past people every day? Just walking past people. And for me, it was always about, like, you know, keep your eye on the prize. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. You know, it's all about Jesus. And, like, if you're walking down here, and I'm trying to get to the PA desk, Jesus, I'm just all about Jesus. And it's like, I'm walking, but, you know, I'm just looking here, and I'm ignoring everything else that's going on either side of me. It's like, these people may need healing, or they may be a blessing to me. I may be a blessing to them, even if it's not about healing. It's about having fun. And that is massive. My Christian walk 3 years ago was so boring. It really was. There's no excitement in a half gospel. Jesus was all about healing. He was all about the miracles. And he was all about encountering the kingdom. And for me, like, I was quite happy with the healing stuff, you know, the 3 years ago. I was quite happy that people got healed. That was awesome. But, you know, angels, oh, we don't focus on angels. We don't focus on them. Oh, it doesn't matter about the gold dust or the diamonds or the feathers or, you know, the laughing. It's just all about Jesus. And that is true. But Jesus has a kingdom, and that stuff is all part of his kingdom. And if you're seeking first Jesus, you also seek first the kingdom. And you can't ignore this stuff. And I've got to the point, it's like, you know, I'd like a diamond, please, Jesus. I know you can do it, and that's what I'm going after. So I'm going to buy a house with that diamond. You mark my words, I'll prove it. I'll come in one day, and I'll have it. And that's what I'm going after. It's just like, God is so good. He is so good. And I completely miss the point. It's like, yeah, it's all about Jesus, but it's all about everybody. It's all about his kingdom, and it's all about him loving on us, and it's us loving on each other. And, yeah, when I was praying last night, I really believe there are some people here this morning. Getting all emotional. There's people here this morning, you really connect with what I'm saying, that you know that you've shut certain stuff down in your life. You know that you've been somewhere and that you've lost your first love. You've not just that, but you've lost a tenacity. You used to go after stuff and you don't as much now. And I really just want to pray for you guys first before we impart to anyone else. Does that, this is like, there's no music playing. Does that speak to anyone? Just put your hands up if that's you. You know that this is, you're not as tenacious as you used to be. That's fantastic. Stand up, please. Just put your hands down, just rest in his presence. Yeah, Father, I thank you that repentance doesn't have to be crying on a carpet. Repentance is a mind shift. Father, I thank you for these precious people who have just repented. Jesus. Oh, I just see the Father just standing in front of you, just open up his arms, and he's just chuckling. Oh, finally! Oh. Finally, yeah, you've lost nothing. Don't regret the years that you've taken to get to this decision this morning. Don't ever think, oh, what if I'd stayed on that path? What if I'd stayed on that path? Where would I be now? Don't think like that. Yeah, Father, I thank you that you are big enough to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. God, you're awesome. You're so faithful. Yeah, just wait for the revelation just to hit your spirit and then just start thanking God. He's restored you. And not only that, he puts you on a place farther down the path than you would have been. He is so faithful. He is so good. Jesus. Hey, oh, when I'm with my daddy, my innocence is restored. Oh, when I'm with my daddy, yeah, my innocence is restored. Yeah, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you've made our minds pure. That we can walk away from cynicism. Yeah, Jesus. Awesome. You know, the lie that I was believing, which I think is true for a lot of you, is that joy is a whole third of the kingdom. Righteousness, peace, they're quite easy to handle. It's quite easy to live in peace and righteousness. But joy is a huge part of that sentence. Yeah. Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
Just stay in this atmosphere of worship, and if you don't mind carrying on, Karina. Just keep on just focusing on the Spirit. I'm just going to tell you my journey, and say standing or sitting, lying or whatever. But for me, it was I grew up in like a Christian background, quite traditional, went to a lot of traditional churches, so we never really saw the sort of manifestations of the Spirit. But I think it was a couple of years ago, I went to a Heidi Baker conference, and I'd heard her on a tape once, and she was just so passionate for God. She was just so overflowing with the Father's love and how much the Father had loved her and how much she was giving that love to others, that just radically just shook me. Just radically shook me. Don't worry about her. She's meeting with God. But Ben, you can go and pray with her if you want. And I came away, there was some one of her students at the back, and basically she was talking about quite a serious subject about sort of all the orphans and stuff. And her students at the back, like everyone was quite somber, her students at the back were just bursting out laughing, rolling on the floor. And I was like right next to them. And I left that meeting just quite discouraged. And I remember coming to talk to Les afterwards. And I was like, I have the Spirit of God. I have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, but I don't experience that. And I want to experience that. And I, for the next 2 years, I had a question going in my head, like, why don't I experience that? And this journey, when going to Bethel, really was the culmination of that whole thing. Because when we went there first time, we went to visit Ben sort of a year and a half ago, we went there and experienced the culture and everyone was laughing. It was just like being at the Heidi Baker sort of conference I went to. And once again, I was talking to Ben and his friend Michaela, and I was saying, what happened to you guys? How did you experience this? How did you... And they were just saying it's a love encounter with God. Just comes and you can't help yourself. You start laughing. I'm like, well, I don't experience that. Actually, the opposite. I don't experience anything. And for me, this... I'll keep it short. For this bit, when we went to Bethel, I was like, God, I'm deciding, like Les said, we put the limits on our experience with God. What are we open to? So I went over on the plane, I was like, God, I'm going to be open, like extraordinarily open. I'm not going to have any even questions. I know I trust you and I trust Bethel. I trust that they're going to be moving in the Spirit. They're not going to give me anything dodgy. So I'm just going to remain open. And for the whole 5 weeks, and it did take 5 weeks, God knew that I needed 5 weeks to take one step, two step, to get to where he wanted me. And I just kept on remaining open. I was like, God, I know I'm not experiencing. And the biggest revelation I have was, my mindset was, I don't experience it. I was focusing what I didn't have, rather than what God wanted to give me. And I was constantly, it was like a barrier, or like a dam in my life that was like, I don't experience it. I wasn't negative to it. I wasn't like, I don't want to experience it. But unwillingly, I was like, I don't experience it. And as soon as I was open to it and saying, okay, God, whatever you want to do, even if I don't experience it, I'm going to be open to you doing whatever you want to do. And it was sort of a progression over several times, and sort of sitting in the treasure hunt meeting. And literally, I've never seen people so drunk, even on alcohol. They were trying to train us how to go out and do treasure hunts, and I don't think I got one sentence out of them. They were just lying on the floor laughing. Apparently, the week before, they didn't even go treasure hunting because they couldn't get off the floor. So that was the sort of environment it was, and I was just open. And I think the biggest breakthrough for me is I saw heaven's reality. I was in worship once, and I had my eyes shut, and it was just in my mind's eye, and I saw Jesus coming right up to my face and just laughing at me. He was actually laughing at me. I look back at it now and think, why wasn't I offended? Why are you laughing at me? I was here in worship. Jesus, he's like... And I saw that in heaven, and in the background, there was angels just rolling around the floor. This is the throne room. I've been brought up to the throne room's holy. Everyone's standing there, Jesus, you're amazing. And I'm sure they do sometimes. But this time, the angels were literally rolling around on the floor laughing. Jesus was laughing in my face. And I just couldn't believe it. And that just completely changed my mindset. Because we view the holiness of God as something quite awesome and somber, which it is. Well, not somber. But it says in your presence, there's fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. I want... So when I had that revelation, I was like, okay, God, I want the fullness of joy. Jesus came to give life and to all its full. And I believe some part of life is joyfulness. Because it says in Proverbs something like, a joyful heart is health to the whole body. So if we're going to live in health, then we need the joy. It's part of our makeup. So since that point, I'm like, okay, God, I've seen it in heaven. I want it now on earth. And that sort of opened the floodgates. And then surprisingly enough, that next night, we had Kevin Dedman. And I don't know if ever you heard of Kevin Dedman, but his motto is basically live drunk. And he does, doesn't he, Joe? Absolutely. I've never known someone like it. I mean, there was other stuff that came out of that meeting which was absolutely amazing. I'll tell you briefly. I was reading this book, The New Mystics, which is about like old moves of God and new moves of God coming. And there was one guy in it. Basically, the book's about mantles that are available that God wants to release on a whole generation. And there was one mantle in that book was called Lonnie Frisbee. And I was like, God, if I want any man, I want his. He's absolutely amazing. I won't go who he was, but basically he helped start the Vineyard movement with John Wimber. What's that? I came to South Africa. And basically, that night, Kevin Dedman was preaching on Lonnie Frisbee and said, I've got his mantle, who wants it? And I was like, oh my word. God knew I was going to be there on that exact night. I mean, because I wasn't even going to go to the school. It was just, I just felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to go to it. And I'm sure there was loads of other stuff that happened. But that night, I received Lonnie Frisbee's mantle. Just something just went off in my spirit. And I've never been the same since. But God knew. He saw the hunger in my heart and the openness and said, okay, I need to get you from London, England, out to Redding, California, because someone's got what you need. And that's what we want this morning. We want to impart everything that we've got to you. So just as Joe's called people up, you might stand up twice for this, but if there's anyone who's just like, I don't experience the love encounters of God, if there's anyone in this room that wants to, just stand up. We're going to pray for you. And if you stood up before, then that's great. Just take everything you can. Even if you do, just stand up. I want more love encounters. I want more love encounters. Yeah. Because the hungry receive. And that's what I think. The biggest thing that struck me about Bethel is they have broken through something, but I think us as a West, like especially in England, we see breakthrough as something that we work for. But actually, the best way of saying it is they've created a culture where it's normal. Like Joe said, we came back off the plane the next day, we were looking for people to heal. It was normal. And like we had to remind ourselves, hang on a minute, we weren't doing this before. And that is what they've cultivated over there, a normal supernatural lifestyle. And that's what we're hungry for over here. That it's just normal. It's normal that you have a love encounter with God. It's normal that you start going up to someone who's sick, you see someone on crutches, and you go up and pray with them. And then afterwards you think, wow, I never used to do that. Because it's normal. You're in a completely different place. So Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the Spirit of joy. Thank you, Lord. We just ask you just to come now and fill everyone who's hungry. You said you'd come and fill everyone who's hungry. So we're asking you, just come and fill. Come and fill, Lord, to overflowing. You said, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, just fill every member here, Lord Jesus. Every member to overflowing. Lord Jesus. Yes. Overflowing. 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 Just receive it. You don't need to work for it. He's here. You just receive it. Take it as a gift. It's a gift. He wants to give it to you. He wants to give it to you more. Yeah. What you'll find is your heart will open up a little bit and just open it up a bit more and say more. Just stretch it open. He will give you more. He wants to give it to you more than you want it. More, more, more. Yeah. 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 More. Yeah. Oh, if God can do it in a very English boy and in a very English man, he could do it with anyone. And I'm telling you, I prophesy over this nation that Christianity is going to be known for joy in this nation. It's not going to be known for stiff upper lip. It's not going to be known for somber services. It's going to be known as a house party. I just declare it over this nation. House parties all over this nation. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes. Yeah. People have stopped going to nightclubs and come to church. Yes. Yeah, the drink is free here. The drink is free here. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, in this credit crunch, it's great. The drink is free here, so just... You don't have to buy any money, it says in Isaiah. Spend any money. Come to the rivers of life. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. And today, there's been a breakthrough. There's been a loosing. You might not have experienced the fullness of joy, but it started. And once it started, once you've got the key... You can go anytime, whilst you're on the bus or whilst you're on the train. Just fill me with your joy, Jesus. Just be careful. You might just start laughing and then people will ask you questions. You won't need to evangelize. They'll start coming to you. So, Lord, we just thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Because the anointing is attractive. Yeah. We've tried to do evangelism for too long without the anointing. The anointing draws people. It says that no one comes to Jesus unless the Father draws him. So we're asking, Father, come and draw people to us. Yeah, 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 yeah. I started off by saying that we got a choice. We'll either be drunk with the Holy Spirit or we're drunk with the world. With our despair, with our circumstances. Because when you're drunk, you're totally unaware of another reality. So when you're drunk with the Holy Spirit, you're totally unaware of like your circumstances. And when you're drunk with the world, you're totally unaware what God is doing. And I just really felt like in the worship, there's people here that just feel just overburdened. They feel almost drunk with their circumstances that they can't even think straight in their time at the moment. I just want you to... You can either just raise your hand, I want people around him to come, or just come to the front if you're comfortable, and me and Joe are going to pray for you. Yeah. 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 He's going to take the spirit of despair and give you the oil of gladness. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. There's some of you in here that are thinking like, I don't agree with that word, but I just want to be prayed for. Just let your hunger take you. Just let your hunger bring you, because we just want to impart everything. It's not us. It's what the Holy Spirit's done in us. We just want to impart to everyone here. So, yeah, you got something to say?
Just lay a hand or hold hands with the person next to you. Just grab somebody. If you're in despair, the best way to get rid of it is love on somebody else. Just pray for them out of their despair and you're going to get freed up yourselves. Just touch somebody either side of you. Hold a hand. Just give it away. We've just prayed for you. We've imparted loads already. We don't need to touch you. We're going to, but we don't need to. Just touch somebody and give it away. Start laughing over their circumstances. God laughs at the impossible. It's impossible for you to get out of your own despair. Just start laughing over somebody else. Even if you do it in the natural, don't wait for a holy laughter. Just be happy. Just shake it off and be happy. Love somebody out of their despair.
You don't have to laugh. Just wait for the love encounter with God. Yeah. But at the same time, laughter is natural. It is not just in the supernatural that people laugh. Like when you just feel joyful, you just laugh. So don't feel like some of you are feeling like, oh, this might be me just making it happen. It probably is you making it happen because you're feeling joyful. Because when you hear something funny or feel something funny, you laugh. It's a natural instinct. So don't think it's some supernatural airy-fairy thing that you've got to try and work up. Just if you feel love, then just laugh.